Blog Talk Radio.
Finally, be all of one mind,
having compassion one for another, love as brethren, be courageous, not renting evil for evil or railing for railing, but counterwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit the blessings. We are grateful for the word of God. And as we go through our promises of God, we're going to start where we left off last week with the promises from the seven wonders at Labors for Christ Sexual and Relational Healing Retreat. And God saw us wallowing and chose to take our lifeless bones and fill them with the true marrow of life, empowering us to live fueled by the bounty of the land of his promises. In Psalms 31 and 9, it reads, "Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eye, my soul, and my body waste away with grief, for my life is spent with sorrow, my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity. My bones are wasted away." And then in Psalms 51 and 8, "Fill me with joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. For the times when the emptiness of our innermost being silently cries out, looking for hope, any hope, not really sure what hope should even look like, but knowing that what was is not it. Things are not working. Things we have used to build the structure of our life are not holding up under the weight of life's challenges. The very fabric of our life needs a strength to rest on, a hope that works, a hope that is real, a hope only God can supply, a strength only he possessed. He was ready and waiting with much love and mercy. He had a plan and a promise in Ezekiel 37 and 13, "You shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, saith the Lord. We shall be carried to our hope on the word of God, the love commitment of God, which he gives to us in eternal promises that provide the joy, the hope, the peace, the power for us to overcome all life's challenges. Covenant promises that have been made to us from God's heart of love and hand of power, empowering us to sit with him at the table of his abundance, joyously rejoicing and praising him. A living abundance graciously granted and prepared new daily from an endless storehouse. This living covenant promise empowers us to do all things through Christ, which strengthens us and guarantees us life, and that life more abundantly." In Isaiah 58 and 11, "The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire with good things and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose water never fails." Psalms 35 and 10. "All my bones shall say, O Lord, who is like thee? thou who delivereth the weak from him who is too strong for him, and the weak and needy from him who despoils him. And then in Psalms 18, it is God that girds me with strength and makes my way perfect. We cried to him, and he heard us. He answered our cry. And then God promised to dispel our darkness, for he had a plan to take our dark days and through them reveal to us our hope, wealth, and the cost of our purpose. Isaiah 45 and 3 reads, and I will give thee treasures in darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, have called thee by name. I am God. Isaiah 42 and 7, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them, and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And then in Luke 1 and 78, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high have visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Oh, the precious promises that the Lord has given to us. Unchangeable and sure. Now, a promise is of no value unless the one giving it has the ability to carry through. It also requires a willingness to do so. We can trust the promises of Almighty God. Isaiah 42 and 5, thus saith the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee a covenant of the people for a light to the Gentiles. We are living in a changeless promise given to Abraham and his seed, which is Christ and all who believe in him. The contour of Jesus' life while living on earth was shaped by his trust in the promise and the power of God. When Jesus said, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the resurrection and the life, he did so fully realizing that he had been empowered with this right by the Father, who had promised to raise him from the grave, because he knew what his destiny was to be. And though it did not seem victorious, as he walked to it and through the Garden of Gethsemane in the promises of the Father, these promises were treasures to him as he traveled in the dark world from the grave, from the manger to the grave. They overpowered the shadow of death that gathered in the valley surrounding his ministry. The power of his hope was so great, he could see in the darkness as though it was noonday. All doors and bars that tried to hold him a prisoner to his circumstances were broken and cut open by the sharp richness of the words of the promises of the Father. What will dispel the darkness and light and bring light in our life, just like Christ, it must be our trust in the promises of the Father. We must come to know, I mean really know, what has been promised to us first, and then get your promises. Trust God for them. Speak them over your life. Speak them through your circumstances, not to your circumstances, but to yourself. Encourage yourself with the promises of God. With this trust, we will see beyond the dark days in our life. We will live off the revealed riches from our intimate rendezvous with God. As we gather our promises, our purpose will be revealed and established, and our riches and treasures will increase. We will desire them more than gold from this world, for they are eternal, uncorruptible, and valuable beyond measure. And we will not sit in the prison of darkness created by the situations and circumstances of life, but realize the promises of God have broken down the door and cut asunder the bar, and the light of hope is radiating around us from the heart of his tender mercies. Promises from the word out of darkness are found. Psalms 18. Psalms 138 and 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endure forever. Forsake not the work of your own hand. Romans 15 and 13. Now the Lord of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you might abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of your calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceedingly greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Colossians 1 and 27. God would make known to you what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In Psalms 40 and 5, it says, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are towards us. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And then it, Ecclesiastes 9 and 7 and 8, go your way, eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God now accepts your work. Let your garment be always white, and your head lack no ointment. The holy promises of God. He knows who we are. He knows our frailties. He understands our weaknesses. He knows our hearts, and he alone has prepared all that we need. And so we need not shy away from him when we have disobeyed him. For he has promised to take the shame of our disobedience and cause us to reflect his glory. In the story of the children of Israel, and Joshua was leading the people, and he was defeated at the war at Ai. And Joshua feared the people in that land would overtake them and kill them as they traveled to possess the land that God had promised to give Israel. And because of that defeat, Joshua was troubled. Because he did not know that the Lord had withheld himself from Israel because of sin. In the valley, Achor, God confronted the children of Israel because sin was in the camp. As High from the tribe of Judah had disobeyed the instructions of God to destroy everything after a battle and a victory and bring the bronze and silver and gold to the treasury of the Lord. But during the battle at Jericho, Achan took for himself a garment, some silver and a gold bar, and buried it with his things in his tent. When this was uncovered, Achan and all his family and herds and possessions were brought to the valley of Achor. There they stoned them, and then he and all his family and his possessions were burned. We would think of the valley as a negative and sorrowful place, stones piled high over Achan and his family and possessions, an enormous family grave. But our view in the valley is not a God-side view. For later, God revealed this promise in Isaiah 65:10. Sharon shall become a pasture for flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for herds to lie down, for my people who have sought me. Oh, what a turnaround in that valley. And in Hosea 2:15, he says, and there I will give her vineyards and make the valley of Achor a door of hope, and there she shall answer as in the days of her youth, as at the time when she came out of the land of Egypt. Our thinking is changed by the promise fulfilled and the harvest it will produce. The valley experience became a symbol of a state of peace and contentment for those who would accept God's ways and through faith receive his Son, repenting of their sins. The valley, the land between two mountains, became a pass-through between the curse of sin and the blessing of God, between death and life, between the old and the new covenant for the children of Israel and for all mankind. God reversed his wrath on Israel when they chose to obey. They became the glorious conquerors that overcome the enemy and possess their promise. Making that declaration that we read in Ecclesiastes 9:7-8, even the more powerful when he says, go your way, eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God now accepts your work, that your garment be always white, and let your head lack no oil. We thank God for the mercy of his love, for his long suffering, and for the ministry of the cross of Jesus Christ, who bore our sins so that we might receive the promises of God. So even in our disobedience, when destruction comes, we then take heart, as God said, that he would take the burnt stones and build a wall of worship, a fortress from the enemy, lined up in alignment with the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. The wall was the first impression a stranger had of the city it surrounded. A wall was generally placed around the most important part in the land. It was where the people would come when threatened by their enemies. It was where the army, the businesses, and the government were located. The nature of the wall spoke to the power of the inhabitants of that land and the value the citizens had for the center of their government. The people supported the city by their labor out in the land. They used their talents to provide the resources to sustain and maintain the city's operations. By paying taxes, tithe, the wall provided the first and most powerful line of defense against any attacking enemy. The wall needed to be grounded deep in its foundation with a strong starting point to guide the structure so the enemy could not knock it down. It needed to be wide enough so the enemy could not get around it, and high enough so they could not get over it. The wall needed to be strong enough so the enemy could not break through it. Any breach in the wall would threaten the safety of the city and its people. So the best material for the wall would not be wood or stone, wood or dirt or brick, nor grass or hay, but stones. Stones from mountains. Stones formed over vast periods of time by the weighty pressure of the sheer mass of the mountain. Stones fitly joined together. This wall has to look formidable to impress anyone who sees it. It has to speak of great power and authority to the stranger. It has to appear to be a safe refuge for its people, for its wealth and prosperity to its inheritance. Does any of this sound familiar? Oh, the fact in the natural that illustrates the wonders of our new life. Nehemiah 4 and 1, it says, now it came about that when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious and very angry and mocked the Jews. He spoke, can they revive the stone from the dusty rubble, even the burnt ones? And he was speaking of Jerusalem's wall that had been torn down in battle, and all that remained were dusty rubble and burnt stone. So it was natural for Sanballat and the other governors to laugh at Nehemiah. They mocked the rebuilding of the wall with the rubble and burnt stone from the previous fallen wall, and the wall that had failed to protect and uphold the glory of the God of Israel. The wall was breached because of Israel's disobedience. Nehemiah was grieved by the condition of the wall, but he was not confused about the glory of the God of Israel. He was determined to repair the breach and bring honor back to the nation of Israel and restore the former house, the former glory of the house of God. His mission was to unite the people and remind them to be a holy people so the world would respect the reputation of a nation whose God was the only true and living God. The Almighty God who once brought fear and terror to the hearts of their enemies. The former glory would not look the same because God was requiring a people who were not warriors but were worshipers. The battle has been won and the promise fulfilled because God's kingdom was not an earthly one. And it didn't need a wall of stone. for Christ would fulfill, but rather a holy people to be a fortress of worship. God had subdued the land through Christ. Nehemiah had the scrolls and commandments read to the people in that day. They had forgotten their heritage. They had corrupted the defenses of the city. But that day they repented. They returned to truth. They had one heart and one mind. They would now become the glory of the Lord. Worship witnesses, not a wall, because what was in the kingdom has already been secured by Christ. These burnt stones, fallen in defeat and disgrace, weakened by the result of disobedience, would rise up out of this rubble and become a new type of wall, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. This new wall would not have a natural element the world was used to seeing. This new kingdom is being surrounded by the forgiven ones of God, worshipers who will honor and serve him in spirit and in truth. The redeemed ones who knew the truth and had the power of praise and worship that is beyond the understanding of the world. But in their worship are the answers for all who would be drawn to its gates and find the way within the wall. For Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. This wall of worship will resound as a new sound in the earth realm, declaring the glory, the majesty, and power of the living God. Our worship will radiate like a light in a dark place, revealing his glory and expressing his character to the world. As we line up with the word, Christ, who has become the cornerstone for the kingdom, our praise and worship will form a formidable fortress built on the rock that the gates of hell will not prevail against. For in Ephesians 2:20, it says, "And ye are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. 1 Peter 2:5, "You yourself, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God, Jesus Christ." And he promised in Ephesians 2:22, "Him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." In Hebrews 3:6, "For Christ as a son over his own house, whose house you are." Uh-huh. What a blessing. What a promise. What a joy to know what Jesus has brought to us as we are entering and have entered through him our land of promises. Promises that if we don't know what they are, then we are living less than citizens of this new kingdom. When you go to a new place, you learn the language, you learn the money, you learn the things that would make you successful in that new place. You learn the environment and the neighborhood and the people. And just as you do that in the natural, when we become a part of the kingdom of the living God, it is our responsibility to seek him, to seek his kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all other things will be added. All we have to do is read his word to find our treasures. And as we read them, he will unfold them to us, for they are ours. He has secured them. He is not a man that he should lie. He has promised, and what he has said he will do, he will do. For he does not change, and we are worshiping him at his holy mountain in spirit and truth. for those things which God has done. We have some callers on the line. Glory to God. It is such a joy. We're going to tune in with Pastor Lazarus this morning. You're live on the line, Mr. Lazarus. You are live on the line. And I don't know if I've done it. Oh, here's. Sometimes I understand you guys are on mute. Pastor Lazarus?
Yes.
Okay, you're
Hello?
On the line. You're on. You're live.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, Pastor. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you now. Good morning.
Oh, praise the Lord. Yes.
And how are you all on today?
We are blessed. We are blessed. I had saw that you had the text, so I know if there was something that you wanted to share with us as it relates to these awesome promises of God. Restoring the burnt stones, taking us from darkness to light, giving our lifeless bones life again, taking the shame of our disobedience and causing us to reflect his glory. Hallelujah.
Absolutely. You had ministered and you had spoken about praise and worship and how it'll be a fortress, and upon this rock the gates of hell should not prevail. And just that we have been praying for direction and guidance and wisdom from the Holy Spirit for the praise and worship at LFC, and actually our preparation for ministering Sunday at the retreat, that just gave us another prayer focus on that which we are to be doing. And not that you don't know, but I think just reminded of the daily requirement. I think sometimes we seek for what great move today or what are we doing different today, and there's just some basic things that he's required us to do daily that we have to be faithful over before he can trust us with those other things that we seek.
Amen. Amen. We thank you for sharing, and you know, this is what we want to see, how all of this is fitted together in all of our lives. I see all of the callers on the line, and we are all experiencing a season in the Lord, in our journey, and all of this is connected, and all of it works together for our good and to edify us and to build up our most holy faith. We are so grateful as the Holy Spirit teaches us how to connect the dots, if you will, of all these
yes.
things, even though this was given so many years ago. At the retreat, it was given to those that would be a part of what we're doing right now. Glory to God. And God's word and his message, it doesn't change. It doesn't change. It is powerful and true, and it changes us, but his word does not change. We thank you so much for sharing with us, Pastor, and for being such a support. We have another caller on the line. We're going to chime in to Evangelist Roberta this morning. Good morning, Evangelist. How are you?
Good morning, Overseer. How are you?
I'm blessed. I am blessed. Amen.
Well, I was driving this morning while I was listening, or I was trying to listen to everything you were saying. And I enjoyed what you were saying, and I was thinking about I know sometimes when I ask Apostle something or I'm talking to Apostle about something, she say, Evangelist, go look up the promises, you know, that God has made to, you know. And my sister's sister-in-law, she's in the hospital, and I was telling her yesterday, and her husband, you know, to pray, you know, and told her husband, you know, God has promised you, you know, look up, go home and look in your Bible and find the promises that God has made to you and your wife. I say, you know, you're her priest and pray those promises. Remind God of what He has promised you. You know, so just practicing the things that Apostle show up. You know, I'm able to encourage others to do the same.
Amen.
So
amen.
I enjoyed what you were saying, because many times as I was, you know, growing in the Lord, sometimes I felt like, you know, I had just failed Him. So, but in going back and reading the Word, you know, He said that He was married, in, you know, to me when I was born.
Yes.
I was fine,
yes.
But He was married to me. So that is what kept me going and getting stronger and not so vulnerable to the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Amen.
So I pray that God continue to bless you, to bring the Word forth, to encourage you, God's people, because that's what we need in this day and time.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your encouragement and for your support. You know, when we hear the testimony of the saints, this is how we are able to see a hope that's ahead of us, that's coming towards us, and that we can, if we would just be still and wait on His salvation, truly, truly, the Lord will come through as He has promised. We have the doctor on the line as well this morning. How are you, doctor?
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm doing well.
Excellent, excellent.
I am doing well.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, I'm just pulling in.
Amen. Amen. Well,
I was so distracted. I had stopped to pay a bill, and they changed the bill. You know how that goes. And then it's like, wait, what? And so my thoughts was all over the place. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go get me some coffee. Then I said, well, forget the coffee. Let me tune on to this broadcast.
And amen.
So it's just definitely amen. Timely, you know.
Amen.
I love the part that you shared about the stones, about, you know, how our disobedience, it opens, it actually gives the doorway for the enemy to come in and attack, and wreak havoc, yet, you know, we fix that with our obedience to God, our repentance, our thankfulness, gratefulness towards God and His faithfulness. And then when the wall is rebuilt, it's built or fortified even stronger. So I love that.
Amen, amen, amen. We thank you, Bishop, for taking out time and sharing and actually for just connecting, because there's power in our connection. We are more than two or three joined together, and it will make a difference in our day. And we thank you so much for sharing with us. We're going to go, I believe, to Cleveland now. I may be wrong, but I believe this is Cleveland on the line. Good morning, good morning. I hear Cleveland giggling. Hello?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? You're live on Blog Talk Radio.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you very well. We hear you.
Oh, praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I can't say enough about the goodness of God, and through the ministry of the saints in Chicago, I have my journey has been enriched, and I praise God every day for the journey. And whatever, I mean, every morning I wake up, I just feel a renewing, a refreshing of the Holy Spirit. And these few months that we're going through consecration, it's just been awesome. God has been doing wonderful things in my life. And it's better than it was before. It's just a, It's a rejoicing time, and I just thank him. I wake up with joy, just to with anticipation of what he's doing in my life, and I praise God for all of your saints that are on the line of your journey. I thank God for you sharing your journey. In past times, it was very difficult for me, but now I can just speak out boldly of the goodness of the Lord. And I just get so excited, I lose my thoughts in my tongue. I can't hardly speak. But I just thank you all.
Amen.
Praise God for you. And overseer, amen. It's, you're like a pro. You've been at this a long time. It seems as though you're doing very well. And I just praise God for you. Continue
praise
doing
God.
What you're doing. And allow the Spirit to use you every day. Amen.
Well, bless you, bless you. We're so thankful for just the vision of the apostle to bring us all together through this Blog Talk Radio. We have a Blog Talk Radio family, and we pray that you will continue to lift them up in prayer. I believe we have one on the line, and she can give us a little insight into her her session that's on Blog Talk Radio on Fridays at 6:30 a.m. for those early risers, and it's such appropriate because it is the power of fire, Fire Fridays. You're live on the line. If you care to share, we are appreciating God's ministry through this Blog Talk Radio, and we have Minister April. That's Fire Fridays at 6:30 a.m. to 7. We have Minister Elaine is on Thursdays from 8:30 to 9, and that's what is this neighborhood blog party? All right. Breaking Beyond the Walls with Evangelist Yvonne Hosey from 7 on Tuesdays. This is 7 p.m. And then we have Pastor Jeffrey Hooks is on Sundays at, looking for it here, is Sundays. Oh, yes, on Sundays from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m., praise the Lord, on with worship, Tahala worship. Please forgive me sometimes in my pronunciation of biblical names and places may not be as proficient as it should. I pray that you just pray for me. We then have CCTI, our Apostle Dr. Charlotte Houghton, is teaching on Mondays, the mandatory classes for all of those who will be a part of this final 2015 sexual relational healing retreat. And it is on from 7 Central Time. And for 2 hours, you will hear the most powerful, life-changing teaching. And we are encouraging people. So often we're not able to get to where the word is, but thank God he is making it possible for the word to get to where we are. On Blog Talk Radio, you can also log in on the computer and get all of the past sessions that have been taught for CCTI, and you can log in on Blog Talk Radio. .com/Labors for Christ Ministry and click on the drop down on episodes, and all past episodes you can get of all of the Blog Talk Radio family. We are so excited about this ministry, and we asking for your continued prayers and any insights that you might have to assist and to build up this. Please, please, please do not fail to contact us and let us know. You can always contact me at PC underscore Thornton, and that's THORNTON at yahoo.com. If you need to get schedules for Blog Talk Family or information about the consecration, whatever it is you might want or questions you might have, if you email me, I will definitely forward it to the correct persons or answer them if I can myself. You're live. Oh, the wrong one. Sorry. Okay. I was trying to get up. That's our Cleveland contingency here. We may have lost the other, but you know what? We just want to make sure that two things we do. On one of our episodes, we spoke about Moses and the children of Israel leaving Egypt. And I said incorrectly and inadvertently that they passed through the Jordan River. And it was not the Jordan, but the Red Sea, much more formidable body of water that the Lord parted on behalf of the children of Israel to bring them deliverance. And he is not short on power. And those things just let us know there's nothing too hard for God, and there's nothing bigger than he is. Again, we ask you to make sure you're registered, and those that you know, encourage them to register for the retreat. That's November 19th through the 22nd. And we want to just close out this session in a praise unto God. And I share with you to let Jesus bring you freedom, let Holy Spirit bring you power, let God's love bring you peace, and let God's grace bring you joy. Praise the Lord, and we will talk again next week.
As we see
truly understanding the spirit and worship in spirit and in truth, to the whole idea that, that we are burnt stones, that we have a song, we have a new song, we have a song that the angels can't sing because we've been redeemed.
Yeah.
And we should be cognizant of that and are appropriating that whole experience, that, you know, through our worship, let, you know, letting that be an additional expression, you know, of our love to the Father, you know, the way that we've been ministered to and you know, re-energized and reborn, you know, all of those kinds of things, that that wall that you alluded to, you know, that us being warriors of birthstone, you know, becomes formidable.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that folks just have to trust God, trust the promises, if you will. You know, whatever we need, He will give us. You know, if it's wisdom, that, you know, He gives it to us unbraided. You know, if it's rest or if it's peace, you know, He is that for us and has given us those things. And then when we start to worship from that place, I heard your lyrics to Minister April, and I had an opportunity to listen to her this morning. Talking about authentic worship. And, you know, just the whole idea that, you know, we have to come before Him. You know, we have to come before Him submitted and clean, you know, and ready to receive. And because He inhabits the praise of His people, that, you know, He has promised that He will meet us there, that He can't help but meet us there, you know, because we are the temple of the Spirit. So, you know, when we connect those dots, you know, and kind of walk in that, you know, I think we get there is an excitement. And the sister from Cleveland, she was just encouraging, just her, just the effervescence in her voice and spirit, which was really refreshing this morning. So I don't know the sister's name, but bless you. Maybe you know, kind of remember, sometimes we get stagnant and complacent, just in the way we do stuff in the morning.
Evangelist Janice Poole.
Thank you.
Well, you know, praise God, and you know, we did, like I said, we are so grateful for this type of a ministry that even though the wonder may not go forth as it has in past years, that God is placing it in the archives for people to continue to receive from Him the message that He has. So I am grateful for all that share with us. And I know it sounds like we have signed off, but when there's still more, we want it all. And so we thank God for it. And the lady is telling me 90 seconds left. But we do. We just thank God and praise God for you all. And you know, pray that zeal and that joy just becomes contagious in our day, and that we spread it to others. So thank you so much for sharing, Elder. Thank you all who are on the line who have shared with us, and we do look forward to talking with you soon. Praise the Lord, and good night.
Good night.